Hello and welcome. Scare Track. Scare Track Podcast. Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God! I scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
That's the loudest I've heard you scream. Very long time.
Quality of the set was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey, and on today's episode, we are joined by Ben and Charlotte from Collab Theatre Productions, an immersive theatre company based in London here in the UK. We talk all about Collab Theatre Company as a company itself and how it's had to adapt during these crazy COVID times. We talk about the show they're running at the moment, Crux 1926, and then discuss their brand new show, Flicker, coming this Halloween. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy this interview with Ben and Charlotte from Collab Theatre Productions.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi, folks, and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am joined by Ben and Charlotte from Collab Theatre Productions. Guys, welcome to the Scare Track Podcast.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Hi.
It's great to have you on. Thank you so much for coming on during these crazy times in which we live in now. I want to talk all about Collab Theatre Productions here at Scare Track. We, of course, love our scare attractions and haunted houses, but we are a sucker for a little bit of immersive theatre as well. We absolutely love it. We've worked with a few immersive theatre companies and also helped create stuff as well. So it's a fantastic art form, and we can't wait to hear all about Collab Theatre Productions. But let's listen, let's find out a little bit more about you folks. So what are your roles within the company?
Sure. So I am a production intern here at Collab. I've been with them for a few months now. I do a lot of marketing for them, some game creation, that sort of stuff. Ben?
Yes. Hello, I'm Ben. it's very difficult to define roles at Collab. Everyone sort of does a little bit of everything. I guess I would be classed as the producer, but the role shifts slightly into more largely sort of game content creation, sort of story and then delivery of that as well.
That makes sense, definitely, especially with something that's more immersive. I suppose things actually get created from gameplay and people sharing ideas, and it's not quite as cut and dry as someone writes this, someone directs it, someone produces it, and then it's done. It's a lot. It's more of an amalgamation of things, isn't it, really?
Yeah, 100%. And it's always changing. You know, we'll find that one game works for one show and then the next time it doesn't work, so we have to adapt it. Information needs to be redelivered in a different type of way. So it's a constant changing, shifting program.
It's also a budget thing.
Yeah.
Cheaper to do it this way, which sounds really sad, but like it's just hiring actors and sort of doing all that process is a very expensive process. And when you are conceiving, creating and delivering it all in the space of sort of one, two people, it makes life a lot easier, if not quite busy.
Yeah. And yes. I mean, it helps that Ben's so talented at it.
That's all I've got to say to that.
Take the compliment, Ben. Honestly, take it. It's good. It is hard work. People don't sometimes realise when they see the end product, they don't realise how many layers, especially with, you know, immersive theatre and things that are created out of a stimulus or, you know, a design or just something that one of you may have dreamed of one night, and then you can create a magical, you know, theatrical piece on it. They don't realise how many layers, how many drafts, how much it changes. And I guess even from show to show, things can develop and change as well, can't they?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Depending on, like, audience size or different restrictions coming in.
Okay.
Yeah, not that we're talking about that. But also, depending on like what experience the audience might have with immersive theatre.
Yeah.
Because you might need to take a different tactic based on that audience or the age or like the type of people that are in.
Of course.
How much they've had to drink.
Yeah, that is a huge one, more than it probably should be. But yeah, massive price, how much they've drunk.
That's a good point, actually, yeah. Because, I mean, it also, I suppose it depends. If you were to do a production for, say, a bunch of film students, that would be a very different immersive interaction than it would be with people at a late-night boozer in their underground show bar. Very different.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just, in my head, a horror story of dealing with sort of very drunk, sort of essentially young city boys that just sort of like... just go mad and everything. But yeah, it's all sort of the nature of immersive is it's not particularly cut and dry. It's very adaptive, on the spot. You do it as it happens. Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. And it's quite a two-way street, really, isn't it? With that's what I love about it, in the fact that it's not just you sit down in your seat and you watch a performance. And although it can be, in that case, it can also be very diverse. It can be, you can use different types of sets and staging, or it can be a more of a promenade theatre production.
Yeah, 100%.
It's more of a case of a two-way street. The more that sometimes an audience put into it, the more they get out of it as well, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Especially, so we have a 1920s theme show on at the moment. Okay. And if an audience member comes dressed up and they're really invested in the show, then you know that they're going to have a good time. And you kind of don't really need to talk to them as much as the people who have come not dressed up and not really immersed in the time period and stuff anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, each individual audience member is slightly different, and the way they interact with a performance is sort of different as well, and things change from show to show as well. So let's talk about collab theatre productions. What kind of performances? Let's pretend that there's no such thing as COVID for now. We'll touch on that horrible elephant in the room at the end on how you guys might be changing things up right at the moment. But let's say it's a normal year for collab. What kind of productions can people see you do? What have you done in the past? What future developments have you got, and where are you based as well?
Sure.
Right, so lots of questions in one, though, isn't there? Sorry. Take it away, Charlotte.
Yes, is the answer. Yes. Yes.
So Collab Theatre Productions focuses on immersive and interactive theatre. So with normal theatre, you might watch somebody pickpocket an audience. An actor, but with our type of theatre, you might be the one pickpocketing that person and gathering that information for the actors.
Nice.
So it's not kind of handed to them on a plate. They have to figure things out and they have to make those connections themselves, whilst also having different scenes happening around them. So there are kind of set scenes that will happen within certain shows that we do. Not all of them. A lot of them are kind of free flow. But yes to that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm just sort of leaving Charlotte to just sort of like say things. Our artistic director Bertie, who happens to actually just be sitting across the room at the moment, he can't hear me because he's got headphones in, but hopefully he'll be very, very proud of this. So we blend what we call ludology, which is the fancy word for just essentially gameplay, and narrative storytelling driven by characters, and we blend that together essentially to find the flexible bounds of play within a structure. We call it action theatre, which is probably used for loads of different ways essentially, but it's about finding the balance, and that balance isn't necessarily 50-50, but depending on the show. But it, essentially the core of what we do is finding a space for people to play, particularly found space, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment, but then filling that space with a immersive experience where there is games blended with narrative storytelling, and that's very much sort of at the heart of what Collab does.
So we're currently based in London. The venue that we're in right now is in Elephant and Castle, which is a converted pub that we've changed to fit into the theme of Crooks, which is our 1920s mob themed show. But it's also where we're hosting Flickr as well, and we're just going to change a few things, dim the lighting, that sort of stuff.
We've had various spaces. Largely we're based around sort of zone one south of the river. So we've had spaces near London Bridge, near around Borough, so Collab Factory, which hosted Great Gatsby for a very, very long time. which people in the immersive world will probably be familiar with. Mm-hmm. And that was just an old carpet factory, Colab House, which used to do sort of raves and things like that, and Colab Cottage, which was sort of more of an escape room kind of space. But we've also dabbled in Pervasive, which is actually on the street itself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we cover all those sort of boundaries, but it's about sort of the space that we inhabit, and the show gets created around the space.
Right, okay, that's awesome. So it's not a set, like we are performing our shows here, or it's not like it's an end on Proscenium March sort of thing, and you go from town to town and whatnot. It's more of a case of a amalgamation of the show being developed for basically site specific then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's spot on. Bertie started Colab essentially just on his bike looking at sort of empty warehouses, and that's sort of where it comes from. Everything stems from that understanding. Yeah. If you find a space and you fill it.
Amazing, fantastic. And of course, you know, you guys are on board as well to sort of create these theatre productions. At the moment, you're doing, is it Crux 1926?
Yeah, so Crux 1926 is based on a family from the 1920s, the McDonald family, and Alice Diamond, who were some mobsters in Elephant and Castle in that kind of time period. I guess inspired kind of by Peaky Blinders and that mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Inspired by, not Peaky Blinders.
Not Peaky Blinders.
Inspired, definitely.
Yeah, but Bertie is always, like, he kind of likes that era, so we dabbled in that and... Yeah,
it's very, I always describe it as faux grit, which sounds like a really weird way, which is sort of a, Colab is very much set in a way of like, you know, you want to be a gangster, you want to go into space, you want to do all these sort of silly, ridiculous things. We do that in a structure and allow people to play within it. But like gangsters, it's just like people love that stuff. And it's a really prime area for people to play games and play in that world and dress up and do their thing in that world. And that's why we generally sort of rotate around these sort of, not necessarily extreme, but what could be described as gritty, and then we sort of turn it on itself and have a good laugh at it at the same time.
Yeah,
definitely. You sort of have your artistic style onto the theme.
Yeah. Okay. Artistic style. I think that's a generous word for it, but thank you.
It's all the buzzwords that, you know, that's what you put on your poster, isn't it? Artistic style for a stylized piece of theatre in a site-specific venue. It's all the buzzwords.
Bespoke is my big word.
Bespoke, yes. Yeah, bespoke is a very good word, absolutely. So Crux is on at the moment, and we're going to have to dip into that little horrible friend of ours called COVID. I'm guessing Crux is still running in a COVID-secure kind of way?
Yeah, so we opened up a few months ago with some COVID guidelines.
The measurements. Yeah. We put various measurements in place. I mean, obviously, things have not been the most clear in terms of live theatre and the guidelines in place, but we were able to be flexible, and the show was already pretty flexible. Yeah. It essentially went from a moving pace where all the people move to a stationary show where all the actors move instead, and that kind of was largely it.
Right.
Yeah. So we're running on a pod format, so you can book tickets for from 2, 4, and 6 people. And you are sat in socially distanced pods with kind of other people in the room.
Yeah.
We have a one-way system. So the audience, if they are moving, they have to move in that system socially distanced from the other audience members. And they have to be masked while they're moving around the venue as well.
Of course.
And we have things like hand sanitizer and antiseptic wipes, antibacterial wipes, not antiseptic. We're doing heat checks on anybody that comes into the venue, so temperature checks, and if they are over a certain temperature, then they can't enter, and we'll sort out that out later. And we've got the track and trace stuff in place now as well.
So it's all systems go, really. It's all...
Yeah,
which is great, because... obviously, a lot of coronavirus has hit the world hard, hasn't it? But there's definitely some sectors that that it seems to be that the deeper you go in, the worse they are. I mean, I work in leisure. We've been hit badly. Yeah. My wife works in hospitality. Yeah. She's been hit badly. But the theatre, the arts, not only have you guys been hit badly, but it seems like now the government just want to wipe you from existence and make you all builders and hairdressers.
Yeah, no, anyone is all to retrain.
I mean, your words, not mine.
Honestly, bad. I think it's disgusting what they're... without trying to make this a political podcast, some of our listeners know how I feel, and I don't like to keep all my political beliefs here in recording where I could probably get sanctioned. But I think it's absolutely disgusting that they should ever use the term better jobs. That's
100%
disgusting in my opinion.
So badly handled.
I've been joking with some friends recently that it's not retraining, but it's just really intense method acting.
Yes.
You're really committing to a role.
Yeah, just really committing to.
Very good.
I like that. You know what? If the government marketed it that way, I think more people would be on board.
No, I'm not sure about that.
No, it is absolutely disgusting. It's such a shame. I have obviously because I work in leisure, my wife's hospitality, but with the scare industry, it sort of moves into theme park stuff, and obviously there's entertainment, it moves into theatre, it all sort of amalgamates quite a bit. A co-host of the show, Kate, she's actually a set designer, set painter, she does body painting, she's worked at the Brit Awards with Calvin Harris, she's done so much stuff, and all of a sudden, they've gone, we want you to not paint anymore. And we want you to learn how to build spark plugs. I don't know. What are they asking you guys to do right now?
We're going to all work in cyber.
What is it with working in cyber? I don't even know what cyber is.
Honestly, I don't know either. What? No.
There's no words to describe it. We just consider ourselves exceedingly lucky to even be
100%
in the building and doing something
and creating.
We all know people that are like completely out of work, and I just hope that we can grow something and keep bringing people back slowly over time. And there's nothing else to say. We're just incredibly privileged to be able to talk to you and actually have a conversation about something that we happen to be doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Especially when it comes to, this sector as well. The fact that you're able to be able to still perform, put on shows and even plan future shows as well, which is Flickr. Can you tell our listeners a little bit what they might expect if they were to come to a Flickr show?
So Flickr is our new horror game experience show. I guess that's the way we're kind of describing it.
That's what the marketing says, yeah.
Yeah, it's what the marketing says. And it opens up next week. We're reviving a character called Reverend Parks, who was in our Halloween show last year called Silence. And he has been contacted by a family to exorcise a spirit or kind of stop a curse within their family. And you as audience members have to help him do that, figure out what's causing the curse, and help him along his journey to keep everyone safe, and to stop what the entity that's kind of disturbing the family, I guess. The worst way to describe it, but
that sums it up perfectly. It's slow burn mystery horror.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of things jumping out in your face. There's an awful lot of suspense horror in there. Actually, weirdly enough, complete sidetrack, but we as a group as a workspace have recently begun sort of playing a role playing game Call of Cthulhu, which is sort of all about sort of slow burn horror, which is sort of been inspiring and feeding into what we're doing. But last year we did something called Silence, which was a very, very similar premise. The whole idea essentially builds around sort of two key areas, which is one, a dark space which you enter and you don't know what's down there and you're looking for things, and without giving anything away, stuff could happen. And then being upstairs in a slightly less dark space with me sort of shouting at you and sort of working out a mystery, essentially.
An investigation.
It's very collab. It's very sort of murder mystery. There's twists, there's turns, but also there's that element where you go downstairs and hopefully you get absolutely terrified.
Yes.
Sounds right up our street.
Exactly.
Yeah, winner. Awesome. And you say that starts next week, so are tickets on sale for that now?
Yep, tickets are on sale for that now. It starts on the 21st of October, and we're running for 34 shows.
Wow. 34 is. Yeah, we're running sort of all the way through from Wednesdays through to Sundays with extra shows around sort of, well, in fact, actually our
Halloween date.
Our Halloween, so 30th and 31st are pretty much sold out at the moment, but there are obviously dates around it and things, particularly towards the end of the November, the section that falls into November has got some dates in it as well. But we have got very limited capacity for COVID reasons and for just scary reasons.
Yeah, scary reasons.
We want it to feel intimate, like you've been contacted for a reason, like you are part of this. Yeah, so we run until November 8th. Is our last date for it, so it's a smallish run, but for a lot of shows, and we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds awesome. And if people could get the tickets, I'm guessing that's straight direct on your website.
Yeah, they can book them through our website or Design by Night.
Yeah, there's lots of different ways, but the best one is to go straight through our website, which is www.colabtheatre.co.uk, and look up Flickr. It's right there for you, and you can get the tickets. Also comes with a cocktail. The ticket includes
indeed
a cocktail.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? If I wasn't sold before, I'm sold now.
booze. We just sold it on booze.
Yeah, booze.
Horror and cocktails are, like, my favourite things.
amazing.
Perfect. Excellent. So I'll also put the link to the website in the show notes below. So any listeners now want to check it out, get your tickets before they sell out, click that link in the show notes now to go straight to the website, check it out, and get Flickr tickets. After Flickr, I'm guessing it's wait and see what all happens with COVID, and then the sky's the limit, I guess, guys.
I guess so. We're currently on a waiting list for Crooks. We've sold out pretty well.
Wow.
And I believe we're bringing Crooks back after Flickr.
So yeah, Crooks will make a resurgence, hopefully in a larger format, sort of more. So we've just done sort of Fridays and Saturdays, and we're hoping to sort of introduce the Wednesdays and the Thursdays as well into the run again. COVID allowing, with obviously the more people you bring into a space, the more you have to clean it, all these sorts of things.
Of
so all that has to be bear in mind. But certainly I think that will be back up until Christmas. And then like every other, particularly in immersive, I think people are looking to January as a sort of point to see, once people push through the winter, to see what sort of makes it sort of climbs its way out of the hole and can make its head again. And I think we've got a couple of exciting sort of plans on the horizon to take Crooks further, to open something else up and get into new spaces again. But with, you know, because immersive is so adaptable, we can look at new spaces and go, can we keep people socially distanced? Rather than just, you know, of all those things, we can actually go in and find a new space and look at going, can this be COVID proof? Which makes, unlike, you know, sort of poor West End that are shoving people together, and the space they've got is the space they've got. Mm-hmm. We're lucky enough to be able to look at a space and go, yes, this is what the show would be like, and yes, it could be financially viable because we thought about the COVID measures in place, which is, in a weird twist, kind of a really fortunate position to be in, if that makes sense. That's one of the small things. We can go in and pre-think of all that COVID stuff, which is good enough, as much as we can hope, I guess.
Of course, and it's a little bit strange to even think, like, you know, if we were having this conversation 12 months ago, we would, never in a million years, think that we would have to not only make sure that the show, you know, the site-specific venue is good for the show, that it can work with these kind of characters and actors and themes and lighting and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No one in a million years would have thought, oh, shall we make sure it's also safe against a massive plague virus as well?
The obsession I've had over wiping down laminated bits of paper has become, it's become about half my life, is wiping down bits of laminate paper. But hey, that's what it takes.
We're lucky with the themes that we have, because obviously with Crooks, we can just play the Spanish flu card.
Yeah,
And with Flickr, we can always just say that it's a way of protecting you from being possessed, or you know, you need to be clean. Like, sanitizing the area is what makes it easier to help get rid of an evil thing. So
yeah, that leads me on to, which is probably a question I'll sort of pass your way, actually, which sort of, like, I mean, obviously, because the way that scare attractions often work is that people do kind of go in bubbled, because the way it is, isolation is kind of key to scaring people, really.
Yes, definitely.
And I'd be interested to know, from people you've spoken to and your own experiences, about sort of how scare attractions are dealing with this sort of thing, and how, you know, in the sort of morbid sense, COVID kind of plays into how scare attractions often are set up. People in small groups or individually go through a space and then you can sort of clean it or whatever, and still be separate from most people that also are partaking in the event.
Yeah, it's definitely been a strange year. I'd say it has some positives and negatives. I mean, overall, we're all going to look at COVID with a bloody negative mind. You know, even for just the sheer amount of quizzes I had to do during lockdown. Jeez.
Yeah. Quizzes.
Far too many quizzes. I've never spoken to my family so much. But when it comes to scare attractions, so events run differently anyway. There's like the screen parks, there's the events where you do an attraction after, you know, each after another with no queuing. Those sort of attractions have benefited more so because they have just a constant flow of people anyway. It's not like a big screen park where, if I'm thinking down near your location, something like Broadwich Haunt Fest or Tullish Oktoberfest. Those ones have closed because they couldn't they couldn't keep the huge amount of people they have. Keep it cost effective because it's so big and they're just congregating, whereas places up here near where I am or a little bit more north, a place like Scare Kingdom runs more so on you do maze number one, then two, then three, then four, then five, then you go home, see you later, bye, and you're there for about an hour and a half. Those work better, and the positive to those is that if you are just a group of two, you are going just a group of two. Which is great. It means there's only me, there's only Hannah, if there's a group of four in our bubble or whatnot, it's smaller groups. It means that you're not with some chavvy idiot for the whole run that behind you that's doing your head in. It means that people aren't screaming down your ear hole that you don't know and they're getting way too close for comfort. So it's positive on those respects. The negative is that we found that some places are struggling to keep it so it is just those groups. There's some certain venues that have been amazing that it's felt like we've been the only ones there throughout the whole thing because of the way they've run, which is great. But then there's others where you'll go in as a three different bubbles, then they'll split you up, but then you're always going to get the people behind you getting too close, and they are always the ones that don't understand what social distancing is. So there's, you know, it's been difficult. It's we've probably only got maybe 5% of the usual attractions open this year compared to what we normally do. So many have closed purely because a lot of them start building in the summer. So they couldn't, you know, they couldn't see a way out yet in the summer. And then others who have built and who have decided that they're going forwards, we're going to do it every time, just like yourselves today saying that you guys are going into tier two. Every other day there's a new rule. So there's a rule of six, or in this area you can't do this, or in this area you can't do that. So it's been a bit crazy. Tonight I was supposed to go to the UK's first drive-through haunted house. So you literally, it's a 20-minute drive and you get scared whilst you're driving. And they're big no one's died yet. No one's ran anyone over. I can't go because it's in Wrexham in Wales, and Wrexham have said that categorically no one from outside of that county can visit the attraction. Even though it would be safer for me to go there because I don't leave the car than it was for me to go to Horton Towers the other day. So it's, they've definitely had to, coming back to your question, Ben, they've definitely had to bend what they do, and some are for better, some are just bizarre. Like I say, we now have drive-through haunts, which I never knew was a thing before this year. But then there's also times where it's like some are doing it better than others. I'll just say that, because some are letting groups bunch up and queue lines aren't being socially distanced, and it's rather annoying and upsetting when you see companies like yourselves and you know, my wife's pub and my play venue going above and beyond to make things as COVID as secure as possible. And then you go somewhere else where 200 people just don't give a damn.
100%.
Crazy, isn't it? Crazy. But there you go. That was a really long, elaborate answer to your question.
No.
Sorry.
No, that was perfect.
That was fascinating. Thank you. It's just interesting to hear about it all, really. Yeah, I mean, I think the easiest way is just keep capacity down. That's what we've done. We just really, really reduced them. If you can manage, I can manage 16 people in a room much more easily than I can manage 50. That's it, really.
Of course. And providing it's still offering a good product, a safe product, if you're at least, I mean, we're all in this for love, but also for profit as well at the end of the day. You can't do stuff that really loses money. Providing during the next few months, at least, you're just about breaking even like we are at my place and whatnot, it's okay to do that and then wait for the future when you can start bringing maybe 20 people in and maybe 30 people, and then you know, it just depending on how rules change and how we all get rid of this horrible thing called COVID. That's the plan anyway, fingers crossed. And like you say, you people are mainly looking at January, like next year now, to be really starting plans to starting up again properly.
Well, I mean we'll see how it goes.
Crazy times.
It's all a bit bleak, but it's good to hear stories about other people that are sort of like pushing their way through.
Yeah,
the arts and such, these industries do always find a way, no matter what we are told by the powers that be, that we aren't or may not be viable, etc., etc. There are always ways to figure these things out, and let's hope that we can start to resuscitate this these industries broadly at some point.
Absolutely. I really do think so. I mean, it's, you know, the arts is multi-billion pound industry, not only just in the UK, but around the world. You know, if we didn't have things like the West End or immersive theatre and things like that, then we wouldn't have things like Netflix and movies and the Marvel universe, you know. Things that everyone took for granted whilst we were stuck at home for, you know, however many weeks, they are the things that kept us going. So yeah, it's, again, without trying to make it really screw Boris, let's just screw Boris. Right, let's end on a positive. Again, thank you so much for coming on to here onto the Skeletor podcast. Exciting about Flickr, and people know how to get their tickets for that. But how else can people find you? How can they support Collab Theatre Productions?
So you can follow us on social media. We're usually under Collab Theatre or some variation of that. Some variation.
At Collab Theatre.
Yes, at Collab Theatre on Instagram.
Yeah, we're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter as well. Yeah. Have we got anything else that we're using? Oh, the mailing list. The mailing list. So if you go onto our website, you'll find there's a section that's just called contact, or I think it's also on the homepage, and you can sign up to join our mailing list. And that is the easiest way to find out about things that we're doing. We send mail outs to people.
Exactly. And if you are attending one of our shows, you could use the hashtag Collab Immersive to share any of your kind of pics that you take while you're here. Not while you're in the show, but afterwards. So that would be great.
Perfect, excellent. And what I'll do as well for Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, I'll put the links in the show notes below, folks.
Thank you so much.
So people can find you, they can give you a like, a share, a comment, because especially now more than ever is the time to be supporting the arts and supporting theatre. So absolutely, I'm following, I'm liking, and we'll get everyone else listening to hopefully do the same as well.
Thank you.
No, I think that brings us to a perfect end. Have I missed anything, guys? Anything you want to let the listeners know? Have we hit everything?
If you're coming to Flickr, wear soft shoes.
Soft, quiet shoes.
There you go. That's my answer to that.
Right, that's
soft shoes.
That's an intriguing answer. I didn't think we'd be ending it on that.
That's what I want to leave there. Soft shoes.
Wear soft shoes. Yeah, don't come in 6-inch high stilettos or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, Charlotte and Ben from Collab Theatre Productions, a huge thank you for coming on the Scaretrap podcast, and a best of luck with Flickr.
Thank you very much.
It's been
a pleasure.
Thank you. Have a lovely rest of your day.
You're So there we go, folks. A huge thank you to Ben and Charlotte for coming on there. Really, really exciting to talk about Collab, their immersive theatre company, and of course Flickr, that's starting next week for Halloween, their immersive horror show. If you're in the area, if you're in London, be sure to get your tickets. If you're able to travel there, because it's safe to do so and it's within the guidelines, of course these guidelines are changing daily, make sure you get a ticket and head over there as well. It's safe, it's COVID secure, and I'm sure you'll have a fantastic time. The arts need our help now more than ever, guys, honestly. We have Save Our Scares here for Scare Attractions, but it really is Help Save the Arts. It's an absolute disgusting point that the government are making to try and make all these fantastic, talented people go and get quote unquote better jobs. In my eyes, there's no such thing as a better job. If you have a job and it pays your bills and you work hard at it, any job is the best job for you. So, disgusting that the government would even use that term, not even once on a slip up, but multiple times they've used the word better jobs, and that is the biggest kick in the teeth for anyone here who loves not only scare attractions, immersive theatre, musical theatre, but even things on TV, guys. If we didn't have the arts, we would have nothing to watch, no radio to listen to, nothing to experience, no theme park shows, no anything. It would be a very dark, grim, bleak world, and the fact that the UK government have said that these people's jobs are not viable and they should go and get better jobs is absolutely friggin' disgusting. So, support theatre where you can. If you can get vouchers for Christmas, for friends and family, get them. If you can buy old programmes, buy them. If you can get merchandise, buy them. If you can do anything to help save the arts, do it now. And you can do that by getting a ticket to go and watch Collab. I wish I was closer. I wish I could go and check it out myself. But it was absolutely great to talk to Ben and Charlotte from Collab and talk all about their new show coming up as well. Guys, that brings us almost to the end of this episode of the Scare Drop Podcast. A huge thank you for listening. Our next episode was supposed to be from Festival, the new horror drive-through. But as I mentioned in the interview there, Wales don't want us coming in. So that's totally understandable. They're the restrictions, they're the rules, even though it's a completely COVID secure event and we have the okay from the council, we decided not to go. We wouldn't have even left our cars, but yeah, we've decided not to go. But hey ho, that's the way it's going at the minute. We're lucky that we got a Halloween at all, and we're lucky we're able to check out shows such as Collab with their new show, Flickr, coming up very soon. So be sure to follow them on all their social media pages. Whilst you're there, make sure you're following us. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track. Remember, you can get everything Scare Track related over on our website, scaretrack.co.uk. You can check out our podcast, our merchandise, our scare cams, our coaster track stuff, absolutely everything, scaretrack.co.uk. So that's the end of this episode. A huge thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.